Would you listen to me read something from John chapter 10? I'm not preaching from John 10, but I am going to mention what is in John chapter 10. Listen to this. It's verse 11 of John chapter 10. It's Jesus who's speaking. He's just said he's the door for the sheepfold. Now he says this: I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when the wolf comes, do you know what happens to the hireling? When the wolf comes, he abandons the sheep. He runs away. And then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. And the man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. And just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep. Some of them live in Rochford. Oh, that's not here, but that's the implication of it. I have other sheep. There's our brother from Brazil. And some of his sheep are in Brazil. I have other sheep. They're not from this sheep pen, but I must bring them also. And they too will listen to my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. For the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. If you know this, say it with me. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still, beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though, because there are things that happen to us, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you're with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me, and you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Then it's like a couple of sheepdogs. I have these two sheepdogs. They're always at my back. And if you know the Lord, you've got them at your back too. Well, let me give you the names of the sheepdogs. Surely, goodness and mercy. Here it is. Dog number one, goodness. Dog number two, mercy. Surely, goodness and mercy, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And where are they shepherding me to? Where are the two dogs pushing me to go? Where is grace taking me? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's my home. And when you know Jesus, that's your home too. I want to talk to you from Psalm 23 this morning. Share something with you that's so very simple and yet so very, very profound. In Psalm 23, you will read this verse: my cup runneth over. Or if you read it in the NIV, my cup overflows. There are only two things we have to learn in this life. It's how to live and how to die. A young man wrote a song one day. He didn't know that the words he penned would carry timeless truths that are going to echo all the way down through the centuries of time. Ordinary people in place after place all around the world would sing that song, because somehow the song says it all. And the boy's testimony that came out in the song was that all the days of his life he would experience the goodness and the mercy of God. He knew how to live, and he knew how to die. And then he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the summary of it all. A shepherd boy who became a king and yet simply acknowledged this timeless truth. The Lord is my shepherd. It's so very personal. Indeed, it can't get more intimate than that. There's such an absolute certainty about it all. There are no ifs, there are no buts, there are no maybes, there are no could-bes. It's this clear, precise definition, statement, is. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, one day Jesus healed a blind man and started a controversy that would cause him to be thrown out by the Pharisees. And the man would be helped again. And that's the issue that made Jesus claim, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. You know, when we look at a crowd, we see people. We don't see persons. We see people. We see a group. We see faces. But it's not like that with the shepherd. Every face, you see, is different. Every face is a story all on its own. Every one of you have a story to tell about your life. And you know, the shepherd knows you. The shepherd knows your name. And he never forgets it. And best of all, he wants to be your personal Lord and Savior and friend and touch your life in the most amazing ways. And now, do you hear those words I read to you again? Pause for a moment, because I want you to appreciate them a little bit differently. It says he restores my soul. He doesn't reform us. He restores us. He brings contentment. He makes me lie down in peace. He makes me walk the right way through life. He assures me that I am not alone in the valley of life. And when I'm struggling and I got all those upsets and those hurts and those pains, those dark shadows, he comforts and he guides me. And he gets through all those opening remarks to say one thing about me, so I would know my cup overflows. My cup runneth over. And what a privilege this is. Do you hear me? I've got a cup. And you have a cup. That's how personal it is. It says, my cup. And if you listen carefully to the testimony, it wasn't always like that with Lisa. She told you about her rebellion. She told you about the way she was a long way away from God. And all of us can give something like that. There's a time when we live by our own rules and we do our own things. The Bible talks about living for yourself and living for sin. The Bible describes that kind of lifestyle. It says, wandering in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And we do, and you watch the world in which we live, they try all sorts of things to quench this thirst, this inner craving in our lives, and nothing satisfies. That's another phrase the Bible uses. It calls it broken systems. And Jesus comes along and says, do you know something? Behold, I can give you living water. So if you're thirsty, you can stoop down and you can drink and you live. And that will change everything. It's like the prodigal son. Hey, I ask him, how did it happen to you? I came home to my father's house. And what happened in your father's house? He was clothed. He was changed. He sat at a banquet table and he had a cup in his hand. And there was a special place for him at the table. And David is suggesting in Psalm 23 that same very thing, that you are in effect a favored guest. Do you know that this morning? Every one of you, you are specially favored guests. You have a cup. The honored guests, you see, in an oriental room had oil poured on their heads. And then they were given a particular certain cup from which to drink. And they had a place to sit. And David says, we're not beggars, outcasts at the door, just being given a crust and a sip of water and sent on our way. He said, no. When you know God, you can say, my cup runs over. It's full to overflowing. I'm an honored guest. And that's what you are. You are honored guests here this morning. And did you get it? You see, it's my cup, not a cup, or the cup, or his or her cup. You see, it's not a cup for the privilege, for the pastor, and for the deacons, the church leaders. It's not their cup. It's my cup. Do you remember the parable he taught about the kingdom of heaven being like a banquet prepared for the son? You read it in Matthew 22. And those invited made all sorts of excuses and failed to turn up. One bought a field, one was going off to get married, and one was trying out the oxen, and all that kind of stuff. Will the banquet be wasted? No. And the master's instructions, he sent the servants out into the streets and the side alleys of the town and said, bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. Anybody, everybody. People who thought they didn't have a chance or a likelihood of being invited. And they all went to the banquet. They were the mirror image of you and of me. They are the mirror image of our church. That God is an inviting God. He invites Mary to birth his son. He invites the disciples to follow Jesus. The woman who is an adulteress there in Samaria, he invites her to start her life all over again. He invites Thomas, hey, because he won't believe in the resurrection. Thomas, come on, touch the wounds. Put your hand here. Have a look. See the wounds in my hand. The invitation. And he invites us. Come, Isaiah chapter 1. Come, let's talk about things. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Here's another one, John 7. Come, all you who are thirsty, come and drink. Here's another one, 11:28 of Matthew. Come, all you who are tired, weary, you're carrying burdens, you're carrying heavy load. There are things happening in your life, you can't handle them. Come to me. Come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you the rest. You see, he's the king who sets the table and invites us to take our place. And all I have to do and say, just as I am, without one plea, except that your blood is shed for me, I come. I come. I come. And when I did that, as a teenager, he put in my hands a cup. It's my cup. It's my cup. See, it's my place. He's accepted me. And when I began to read my Bible and I went into the Song of Solomon's, I found that I am my beloved's and he is mine. And he's laid a table before me. That's how personal it is. It's my cup. You can say it, it's my cup. But it's how special. Because it's not just any kind of cup. It's the cup of salvation. Psalm 116 says, I will lift up the cup of salvation. My cup. My sins are forgiven. I am justified. It's just as if I'd never done anything through faith in Jesus because of what he did at Calvary. It's my cup. Because God's love has reached me. The precious blood of Christ has redeemed me. And that's what you say. You can look in the mirror and say those same things. The Lord has come into this troubled world of ours that's so full of selfishness and greed and sin for one purpose, and that was to die for our sins. And it's God's great gift to all ages and all people so we can receive him into our hearts and say, be my Savior. And that's why it's my cup. My cup is the cup of salvation. My cup, I read Jeremiah now 16, it's a cup of consolation. A cup has been given to them to console them. None of us, and God knows how many times I've been down this road, is exempt from trials and setbacks and difficulties. But in the plan and in the purposes of God, they work for our good. You know, Romans 8, all things work together. Not some of the things, but all things. Not just a few of the things, but all things work together. And the Holy Spirit fills my cup with comfort and consolation and help. And like the Israelites, when they came to Marah and found the waters were bitter, crying their eyes out and their weeping, and he took them to Elim, because that's where they sang praises to God. You discover, you see, when it's my cup, that he's for you. He has a calendar with your birthday date on it. He just doesn't know it's Pauline's birthday. He knows it's your birthday. He knows your name. He knows where you live. You see, here's what Zephaniah 3:17 says. He, that's God, he will rejoice over you and you will rest in his love. My cup has consolation in it. And if I'm too tired to continue, he'll carry me. If I'm too discouraged and ready to give up, he'll pick me up because he's for me. That's my cup. It's a cup of salvation, it's a cup of consolation, but it's the cup of the covenant too. You watch with me every single month at this table behind me when we lay it out and spread it with the bread and the wine. It's the cup of the covenant. On that night, Jesus took a cup. And ever since, every time we come to the Lord's table, that's exactly what we do. And we say, this is my cup. It's connected with the covenant. It means I am inextricably bound to him. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise he has ever made applies to me. You see, it is a cup of blessing. It's a cup of fellowship. Nothing happens to a child of God but what was in the covenant. It's a unique, it's a special relationship with a faithful God. And his love enfolds me. His grace is sufficient for me. His purposes are being fulfilled in me. That's in my cup. Now that's the privilege. Here's the prospect. My cup runs over, overflows. Did you read the story about the little boy? His mother put him on the bus to go to school. It wasn't King Edmund's, don't worry about that one. But she hears a ring at the doorbell. And she's getting ready for a busy day. I watch that. I come and get my newspaper. There are two children who always, in red jumpers, father always brings them to the bus in the square. Same time, sees them on the bus. This is the boy. And he's ringing at the doorbell. And his mother screams at him. Of course, he says, she asks, Jason, what are you doing here? He said, I've quit school. And then a decibel too high, I think, for human ears, she says something to him. Without any hesitation, the boy tells her why he's quit school. I'm quoting, it's too long, it's too hard, and it's boring. And you know what the mom says? Jason, you have just described life. It's too long, it's too hard, it's boring. She says, come on, get on the next bus. Does the Holy Spirit have to say something like that to us? Get back on the bus. Get back on the bus of life. Listen, my cup overflows, says the psalmist. Can I tell you about how that's one of the most delightful things? Do you know what does my cup overflow with? My cup overflows with the precious promises of God's word. There's no situation, there's no event that can occur, but a promise will be there to sort it. I read through the Bible every year. I read from Genesis to the last chapter of Revelation. It's my commitment. I've done it for years. And I mark verses with a date because they've been encounters with God. And I'm back in Proverbs again at the moment. I am thinking, well, what was happening to me when I marked that verse? And what was happening to me when I marked that one? And my memory floods again because my cup overflows with the precious promises of God. And anywhere and everywhere, on the good days and on the bad days, on the sick days and on the well days, on the wedding days and on the funeral days, on the high days, the low days, the ups and the downs, any time, all the time, every situation, I open the book. I open my Bible and the promises of God go all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Too many for me to grasp, but in all of their simplicity, it's the way God works. And he takes one of those promises, one by one, and he drops them into my cup. And then my cup overflows. And the more you rely on them, the more you discover how wonderful it is. My cup overflows with the promises of God. My cup overflows with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus made a specific promise not to leave us on our own, but to send the Holy Spirit to be our comforter. Help make that better. A parakletos. I tried to show you with Rob here one time. I grabbed Rob because that's exactly the imaging of parakletos. God wants to grab a hold of you and be there for you, the empowerer, the counselor. There are times when you experience wonderful visitations of the Spirit. But he comes to dwell with us. I'm only a bush. He's the fire that's burning in the bush when he comes in all his power and his glory. And that's what makes my life then glow with a fire divine. My cup is overflowing. And when the Holy Spirit is with me, then I have the gifts. I can do and I can say and I can be what he wants me to be. And he'll produce the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. You know, the Galatians 5 list. And the greatest of blessing is that he brings these things in such a vivid and special and life-changing way. And I wonder sometimes, how can one heart and one life bear all this? And the more I know, the more I find that is to know, my cup is overflowing. My cup is overflowing. And yours will do exactly the same. And you know what my cup is filled with? Would you just turn your head to look at around the church? Go and look at everybody in the church. Your cup is overflowing with the privilege of being part of the church. I'm not on my own. You're not on your own. We belong to each other in the family of God. When I think through the list of the things we do for one another, that's why I asked Lisa to tell you how she's been encouraged, how this long list of their bearing one another's burdens, praying for one another, being there for one another. That's what we are. We worship together. It may be small, it may be seem like insignificant to others. But you know, when we do this together on a Sunday, you help to fill my cup. Because what happens to us while we're here? We are lifted out of this world. It may be a hymn. It may be a chorus. It may be a prayer. It may be something I say in the process of the message from the Word. It may be very brief. It may be a fleeting moment of time in the hour that we spend here. Just 1 minute, 1 moment. And you're in God's world. You're in the world that's eternal. You're breathing and sensing what is eternity. And not the temple. Not the temporary. Not this world only. And you know what happens in moments like that? Then the conscience is quickened by the holiness of God. The mind is fed with the truths of God. And the imagination is purged by the beautiful things that God does. How great thou art. And my heart is opened to the love of God. And my will then becomes devoted to the purposes of God. That's what happens in church on Sunday. Just to know you. Just to share with you. Just to see you. Just to stand here and talk to you makes my cup overflow. It makes it overflow. And that makes me then move from the privilege to the duty of the overflowing cup. Because sometimes we neglect to let God fill the cup. We allow things to crowd out the Lord from our lives. Sometimes our faith is so poor and so feeble and so limiting. And our prayers seem so weak and our receiving so, so limited. And I remember the words I say at the table behind me, take, eat, drink ye all of it in Jesus' name. And I remember I have to drink all I can. I have to receive what God is putting in my way, and my cup overflows. And I share it with others. I can't just keep it for myself. I have to look around. I have to see folk who are sad or distressed and in need, because my cup is overflowing. So I can put a soothing, refreshing drink to their lips in the week that I have to live before I next meet you again. And so I share it with others, my overflowing cup. And I serve the Lord with all of my heart. And I want you to do the same. Because God has given so much to us. We have to give back to Him. So let your cup run over. Let your service overflow. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Let your giving overflow. Give generously. Let your prayers overflow. Pray without ceasing. Let your praise overflow. Praise him with all of your being. Let your talk of him overflow. Tell everyone how good God has been to you. Let your love and your faith and your zeal and everything about who you are, let it overflow. You see, you can say this morning, my cup overflows. May it be a week when it overflows in such abundance. Now look forward to seeing you next week, because your being here helps to fill my cup to overflowing. Would you put a prayer in my cup this morning and in everybody else's cup? See, how can I do that? Say the benediction. Say the blessing. Put a prayer in everybody's cup. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen. Have a great week. My cup overflows.